Hey guys, so due to some technical difficulties, this episode is coming up a little bit late. We recorded this on this past Saturday, so some things will be slightly out of date. We didn't get to talk about the World of Outlaws race at the Rev. That will get talked about this next weekend. And of course, no guests this past week because of those technical difficulties. So hope you guys all enjoy the episode. Stay tuned. We talk about a lot of cool stuff. We've got our power rankings coming back and a bunch of other season preview stuff, as well as some F1 and NASCAR talk and all the good stuff you've come to know and love. So thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned and hope you enjoy.
It's showtime!
Welcome to Where Rock Meets Roll, Heavy Beats Metal, and Out Meets Law. Ladies and gentlemen, let them hear you!
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Midwest Auto Sports Podcast, probably in the highest definition of audio you've ever heard in your entire life.
HD, baby.
HD, we back.
Yeah, we got a new microphone. A
couple of new microphones, eventually.
We'll use one of them later.
Yeah. We'll use one of them now.
We got this blue microphone.
Blue. Just like the entire F1 group.
Yeah. They're all blue.
They are all blue.
Well, how many actually are blue?
Five? Six? It's almost half. Because McLaren's blue, basically.
They have some blue.
They have some blue. Alpine is blue. Williams is blue. You could almost call Aston Martin blue.
No, that's green.
I know.
Anyway, well, you want to run us down the segments?
Yeah, well, we're sponsored by Sage Fruit, so we should probably thank them. Sage Fruit is a high-quality grower, packer, and shipper of Washington State apples, pears, and cherries. We work hard on the farm and the packing houses and in sales to deliver an exceptional eating experience to our customers. For the past 17 years, Sage Fruit has been a proud sponsor of Sprint Cars and Sprint Car Racing, and they value their relationship with racing fans and appreciate your continued support of Sage Fruit. Ask for Sage Fruit at your local grocer. Sage Fruit, an exceptional eating experience. Keeping the show the same today. We've got news, some stuff in the asphalt segments, a bunch of dirt news, some big stuff in the streaming world, in the dirt news. We're going to bring back our power rankings. We have our preseason sprint car power rankings with the MSA and the IRA. Those will come up after our news segment. They're bringing back our kick-ass power rankings. That's pretty cool. And then our winner circles. World of Outlaws had a race last night. F1 testing is going on, so we can talk about that a little bit. And then upcoming races. We've got World of Outlaw race tonight at the Rev. And a bunch of other stuff to talk about there as well. So, yeah, we're going to get right into it. With our news presented by QualityFreightRate.com, the auto racing family is like no other fan base on the planet. Loyal, hardworking, blue-collar, and kind people all gathering for a common purpose day in and day out at local racetracks around the world. And that's what you'll find at QualityFreightRate.com. Shipping all over North America, Quality Freight Rate works with thousands of companies and has over 27 years of shipping experience. And we do it all for less. Use code TEAMMAS for 10% off your first shipping quote at QualityFreightRate.com. I've completely forgot to ask you what you did this past week.
What did I do this past week?
We're going to talk about our lives a little bit.
I don't even know what I've been doing. I haven't really been doing much.
You put some stuff up in your office. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did. You're getting a call.
Oh, my goodness. Scott King. SKD, our designer, calling me, but well, he can wait a little bit.
Yeah, I was setting up the old office. I got some helmets on display, some of my old helmets. Put my last helmet that I used up there for that this past season. Well, I've been using it the past like 5 years or so, but I think it's time to upgrade helmets or get a new one or whatever. So decided to put it in the office. Maybe
what was that one helmet that had Bill Balog's autograph on it?
That was
pretty cool.
That was the second racing helmet I've had. I've only had three, really. I used one for like go karting, and then once I got into a junior sprint car all those years ago, I got a new helmet, and then once that's the helmet that Bill Balog signed.
He said he even remembered signing it. Said it was an oldie or something.
Well, it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
I think he signed it like 2013. I think.
Oh wow.
So
that's cool. He remembers you.
Yeah.
Little Will Garrett's to Bill Balog. That's awesome.
But then I got the.
Your Napa helmet's up there.
Yeah, that's the one that I've been using since 2015 or 2016. No, probably 2015.
I still think that was like your best paint scheme of your helmet. I like that one.
Yeah,
it looked good on your helmet. It looked okay on the car.
I'll probably get it. Was all it was a black helmet with some stickers on it. I didn't get it painted or anything, so maybe I'll do something similar with the new helmet that I'm supposed to be getting before the season.
Yeah. Alright, let's get into our news segment a little bit here. F1 is back on track. We're both really excited. I think you even said you had a hot take.
Yeah, I said I was more excited for the F1 season than I was for the watching or just keeping track of the IRA stuff.
Which I told him he should say on the podcast. Cause
okay, he said I was going to be...
Could get a few bites.
Yeah, said I'd be hung.
But yeah, I think it's fair to say we're both really excited for F1 to be back. It is the pinnacle of motorsports, as they like to call it. But Mercedes and Red Bull, no surprise, were out front for the first 2 days. Max Verstappen was fastest yesterday, and Valtteri Bottas was fastest today. Mercedes really struggled yesterday with a lot of mechanical failures and stuff like that, but came back today. Lewis Hamilton still was like 17th or something like that.
I think that probably has more to do with just them trying out different equipment and like doing the aero testing and stuff.
Lewis only had 5 laps.
Yeah, so maybe their upgrade didn't go as well as they wanted.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, it's still not representative at all because Pierre Gasly was second fastest and less than a tenth off of Valtteri's time. So there's no, you know, they're obviously not pushing as hard as they can go. They're not going to show everything that they can in testing.
They're all using different strategies. Some of them might be topped off with fuel and going super hard, while the other ones might have low fuel and still kind of like easing it. So who knows?
Well, and that brings us down a little bit here. Obviously, Alfa Romeo and AlphaTauri have been really impressive in the first couple days of testing, even with it not really being representative. Both of them have had cars in the top 5 in both days, as well as I completely butchered that spelling of Alpine. Alpine and McLaren.
Alpine.
Alpine and McLaren were also in the top 5 both days with their respective drivers. Some teams are doing driver swaps each day. So, like, yesterday, Esteban Ocon was in the Alpine, and then today Fernando Alonso was in there. And Alonso was a little bit off the pace, but again, it's testing, so it's not representative at all. Aston Martin and Ferrari have been testing tire compounds for Pirelli. They've got, like, it was interesting. They said that Pirelli makes their tires in two different like factories, and they wanted to make sure that the two factories were producing the same type of compound. So then one team, I think Aston Martin, was testing the one compound from wherever they're made, Belgium or something like that, and then the other one was being tested on Ferrari, and they wanted to make sure that they were getting at least similar times and performance.
And just from what I read, it sounds like they're a little bit harder too, like overall.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, F1 teams, they get their downforce taken away from them, and it's a mad dash to get them back, and they'll probably be faster than what they are last year by the end of the year. So,
yeah, Williams and Haas were testing aero rakes as well, so their times were way off because they added about however much those aero rakes weigh
and all the drag that comes with it.
Yeah, but it's just meant to test the airflow coming off of the front wing and off the tires and all that stuff. So,
and I always like seeing the cars with the high visibility paint, like they spray the paint oil mixture over like the front surfaces of the all the aerodynamic devices and on the body, and then it will like paint almost it'll paint the car, and you can just see where the airflow is detaching and stuff like that. I always like seeing those.
There was a picture of Daniel Ricciardo. He had like bright yellow high-vis paint on his McLaren, and Josh Revel retweeted it. He said, did he run over Big Bird or something?
Yeah.
That was funny. But, yeah, it's very cool just to see F1 cars back on track, to see what all the liveries look like in the real world. I think the Williams livery has definitely gone up in my rankings since it's come on to the real world scene. I think Aston Martin has gone way down. I don't like the way that looks in real life at all.
Yeah, I think it could have been a little bit of brighter green.
Yeah, it looks really dull. And
it looks black almost on the track.
And with the pink, it doesn't look good at all. And they actually did come out and say that line on the side, the pink on the side, was supposed to be the bright AMR green until BWT came in and said, no, we want some pink on the car. So, screw BWT and ruining all these awesome liveries. Because I like the Force India livery, too, before it got changed to pink. I like that, like, the Indian colors, the
orange, white, and green.
Yeah, I like that. So, screw you, BWT.
I think maybe in a few years we'll, like, look back and say, oh, the BWT pink cars.
Oh, they're for sure going to be classics.
They're going to be like, oh, those were cool.
But it definitely was different. When the last time we saw a pink F1 car before that. But moving on. Some more local-ish stuff. The SRX car was unveiled. I don't know. We both have opinions on this, and I feel like they're pretty similar.
I like it, and I also don't like it.
Yeah. Yep. I like the front of it. I don't like the back of it. I don't like the giant wing that's going to not matter at all. Like, the wing, it's not going to serve a purpose. It's not.
No. I was listening to the Dale Jr. download last night, Slinging Pizza, as I do, and they were talking about the SRX car, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. really liked it. He's like, oh, it kind of gives me a mixed cross-ish of like a NASCAR-type car mixed with a late model and a super late model. He goes, and I like that he also liked the fact that there wasn't a spoiler on it, and it was a wing. Like, yeah, they said that it's just kind of for looks, but also the spoilers, they kind of disrupt the air a lot.
Well, and when you're on dirt, you can't really have a spoiler. I mean, you could, but you run the risk of letting it dig in and then...
No, not a splitter, a spoiler.
Yeah, splitter, sorry.
Just, he realized the fact that there isn't a splitter on the front that digs in and ruins everyone's day, pretty much, if you get out of shape on the track, but...
Yep.
It's he just said the wing. I think the airflow will be a lot better. He thought it would be a lot better and produce better racing, especially in the short tracks without the spoiler.
Yeah.
And the fact that being like the Dodge Superbird wing, Plymouth Superbird. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it looks like a.
It looks a lot different from the renderings. That's for sure.
It definitely does.
It kind of looked like the concept car to production car kind of thing. Like the concept car they released, like.
That looks amazing.
It looked amazing. Yeah. Like, oh my god, this thing is gonna sell like hotcakes, and all of a sudden it comes out looking like a Toyota Camry clone.
Yeah, I don't know. I like you said, I like it and I don't like it. I like it because it is simple, but I think it's almost too simple. Like the side, like the back of it is just a box. Like it's not even like a like I call dirt late models bricks, but I mean this is like a genuine. There's a lot of 90-degree angles on it, and I don't like 90-degree angles on cars. But I also think that it does look nice, and I think it will probably provide pretty good racing. But that all remains to be seen. Speaking of the stock car world, Kyle Larson, it didn't take him long, but he's back in victory lane in NASCAR in dominating fashion at Las Vegas. I mean, he had... everybody covered there, and I think it's him in that number 5 car with Hendrick, and now that he's won, I'm sure some more sponsors are probably going to want to come on board there, because most of the sponsors he's had are Hendrick owned companies, right?
Yeah, either I think he won with Hendrick cars.
Yeah, it was Ricky Hendrick's paint scheme, which was really cool.
And then he also had whatever that auto insurance company, but it's also owned by Hendrick. But it was really cool seeing Larson win. I mean, I was it was a slow night at in the pizza game that night, so I was like sitting in my car waiting for deliveries, watching the race on my phone, and just seeing him win, like it was cool. Like I don't know,
was it just me or I don't know if this is just me putting a tinfoil hat on or anything, but does has Fox not and like NASCAR media in general have they really not paid attention, or at least it almost seems deliberate how they've not like interviewed Kyle Larson like so far, and when he won, did it almost sound like Mike Joy was disappointed?
I can't really remember what if Mike
you,
Joy.
If you go back and watch the highlights, he didn't talk almost the entire last lap. Like usually he has some like big thing about their backstory and stuff and how they got to the win and whatever. But he didn't talk at all, and then kind of when he crossed the line, he's like, "And Kyle Larson wins at Las Vegas." And it, like, you could tell Gordon and Boyer were really excited. And then, but then, like, Jeff Gordon would try to start, he would start talking about him, and then, like, it would, like, really abruptly stop. It almost sounded like the, like, Fox producer or something like that was telling them to stop talking about him.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's still, like, he's a black eye in NASCAR's eyes or something like that. I don't.
They probably feel that way, but if you, I remember listening, like, watching the race and listening to just that final call on the last lap. I don't remember, like, hearing any disappointment or anything, but hearing the fans.
They loved it.
They loved it. The fans loved it.
And having, fans were back kind of in the stands at Las Vegas, too. They had, what was it, 50%, 25% capacity?
Yeah. Something like that. There's quite a few. I mean, a couple thousand. Las Vegas holds a lot of, a lot of fans. I mean, all those 1.5 mile tracks do, but
yeah,
the fans kind of go out and cheer at Larson winning. Kind of a comeback story. I know a lot of fans felt like it, what happened to him. I mean, yeah, it was bad, of course, what he did. I mean, disappointing.
He owned it about as much as you could possibly own it.
And I think a lot of fans thought he was treated unjust. Like he apologized, I know, and he went through training. But I mean, through a majority of the media, they just kind of wrote him all summer long, like, oh, he's the guy that said the slur on a stream.
Yeah.
But I think the fans forgive him pretty quick. And I'm sure there's still some fans that not a big fan of him coming back to the sport so fast.
I'd say the vast majority are happy.
They're happy, or they don't care. Like, they're neutral on it. Like, oh, he, whatever, he's doing his thing to make it right, and now he's back to his job, which he's obviously good at, which in an interview with his crew chief, he just said he didn't really do anything. He just kind of like, okay, Kyle, go run, and he just did.
Yeah, it was his crew chief, Cliff Daniels.
Yeah, right? They made a good strategy call one time, and that just kind of set him up for the whole rest of the race.
And he was just so fast. I was listening to Door Bumper Clear, and it was TJ Majors. He's the spotter for Joey Logano. He was saying how whenever he was able to watch Kyle Larson's car, he could turn it anywhere he wanted. Like he could drive up to the top of the racetrack in the middle of the corner to get around a lap car, and then immediately turn back down the racetrack to get on the fast lane in the bottom and just drive off the corner. And he said he'd never seen anybody be able to do that at Las Vegas. So he had a fantastic car underneath him, and you know we all know Kyle Larson is a fantastic driver, and there's a lot of people touting him as the most talented race car driver in the world right now, and I don't know about that, but I definitely believe that if he had an opportunity to get in any kind of race car, if you give him a couple days or a couple races, he'd be quick. So he's back. I think with him being at Hendrick now, I think that he's a legitimate title threat. I think, at least. I don't know. Just with the way Hendrick has been racing recently. You know, William Byron just won.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, the two Hendrick wins in the first four races, and neither of the favorite guys were either
Alex one Bowman of and Chase Elliott. Yeah.
Neither of them were those guys to win it. I think they were Larson and Byron were kind of the two underdog, kind of didn't know how they were going to perform. But it turns out Larson kid's pretty good at driving race cars.
Yeah, it turns out.
And he won for Hendrick in the shortest amount of time for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Four races. New I guess, new company record.
Right.
Which I think that's going to be hard to beat.
Well, we all know Chase Elliott's going to win by half a track at Phoenix tomorrow, so...
we'll see. I don't know.
I don't know.
He obviously won there in the fall.
Dominated.
But I don't really know. I think I've seen Larson run there pretty good, and you obviously have to pay attention to Kevin Harvick. He owns the track pretty much.
We'll talk about Kevin Harvick later.
Yeah, we'll talk about Kevin Harvick a little later. But one more piece of NASCAR news that NASCAR is pitching the idea around to some streaming services and other networks that they want a Drive to Survive type show, which I think would be cool. I honestly think that the NASCAR, obviously the Formula One is really good, but I think the NASCAR one would really hit strides with the Americans a lot better.
I think it'd be cool if Drive to Survive was like a brand.
Yeah, and then they did Drive F1. To Survive F1, Drive to Survive NASCAR,
IndyCar, World of Outlaws. I mean, you know, like, I think a World of Outlaws one would be really cool because there's like three races every week. But
I think that'd be, I don't know. I, that'd be I just almost think too that, much. Like, dirt racing, yeah, it's cool that they race 90 times a year and it gives people like us something to always be watching and stuff like that. But it's not very TV friendly at all, because I mean every event takes like 6 hours mm-hmm. or so, just with all the different preliminary stuff. And
well, that's where I think a streaming thing like that would be good for it.
Yeah, it just they'd have to like condense that 90 race season yeah. into a super short span of time, and I just think that's hard to do.
Yeah,
where F1's super easy. They have like 20 races a mm-hmm. year. This year they have a little more.
Yep.
They can like pick and choose the best storylines. NASCAR has 36. So it'd be a little bit more difficult, but then like you multiply it by almost 3 for the World of Outlaws.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think we're both in agreement in saying that if
and NASCAR obviously, did that, it'd be obviously, great. Drive to Survive has had a tremendous like effect on Formula One viewership. I mean,
well, and even people that don't watch F1 just
yeah, there's watch guys the show. At Tony's and like these young guys that are some of them are actually still in high school and they. Me and Jasper, the owner's son, one of my good friends growing up, he's always been an F1 fan because his dad, Tony, always watched it on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched Drive to Survive, and in 2019, we watched like the first 5 or 6 races live
yeah.
in his basement. And all of a sudden, all these guys at work were talking about Drive to Survive. Like, oh, it's a great show. Like, we're like, whoa, whack. Like, I guess people actually watch this.
Whoa, whack. That's awesome. Yeah, I think it'd be great for the series and, you know, for everybody watching. I think it'd bring a lot more eyes on the NASCAR than what it would be.
However, let's bridge the gap here a little yeah. bit. I urge you all to pick up your phones right now, go to Speed Lab on Instagram, and look at one of their recent posts, I should say. It should be like the second or third one down by now if you're listening to this podcast. When it comes out, they came up with a little bit of a crossover idea. All the F1 paint schemes on wing sprint cars.
And they're available on trading paints.
They
if
are.
If you have iRacing, you can run them. They look sick. I mean, there's some that look meh, but that's also just because the actual F1 liveries are meh. Like the Mercedes one with just AMG plastered everywhere.
Yeah, I'm looking through them right now. Some of them just kind of don't feel right because of the fact that they're taking this open wheel, like, road course car
mm.
and putting it onto a sprint car, which they're obviously both open wheel, but they don't have the right proportions. And
yeah.
obviously the sprint car has a lot more space available. But if I'd have to just pick my favorite one, I think it'd have to be the McLaren.
Yeah.
And we've actually seen Red Bull sprint cars with Joey Saldana and KKR
yep.
before, and I actually think that one looks a lot better than the rendering they put on the Red Bull one. The McLaren one's really good. Alpine's really good. Ferrari just looks... It just doesn't look good, but I don't really like the way it looks in real life either.
I like the Alfa Romeo one. I think
it looks a nice. Lot of comments on the Alfa Romeo one. Like, it looks fantastic, and I just think that has to do with the fantastic color scheme that they have this year.
The maroonish and the
flipped them from what they were last year.
Yeah. So,
but otherwise, yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, and I think the Williams nice. Scheme looks even better on a sprint car than it does on a
F1 car. Well, that almost looks like something Blackbeard would do, you know, with the horizontal, or not the horizontal, the vertical.
And it kind of runs from the top wing to the body of the sprint car, but...
I still think the McLaren one looks the best.
I don't know, once I get a new computer and I start iRacing more frequently, I think I might have to test out some of those.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be one of those guys in a Red Bull car taking out the field.
I sent a message with the Red Bull scheme, and I said, if you see anyone running this scheme in a lobby, just run. Just run. Run away.
Yeah, you leave the lobby. You see that a lot in road course racing on iRacing. If, like, you see a Mazda Miata with a Red Bull scheme, you better believe they're going to try to outbreak you into turn one and take out half the field.
Because Helmut Marko is going to see them race.
Christian Horner is personally watching your stream.
Yeah. Course.
But let's talk more about dirt racing here. Flow Racing signs a multi-year deal for streaming and to be the title sponsor for the All-Star Circuit of Champions.
Very, very cool. I think we're both pretty happy about that.
I think it gives a little more relief to all the Flow Racing subscribers that they're not just going to, like, oh, they're not just a flash in the pan. They'll be around for a while. I don't really know about...
7 years.
Yeah, I don't really...
2028.
I don't know about the USAC stuff, if they're going to keep that, or they're still going to keep acquiring companies, but I don't know. I'll keep my Flow Racing subscription for a while, I guess.
Flow Racing just added... What did they add? Some modified deal. They added some, like, obscure... Not obscure, but, like, actual, like, dirt modified somewhere. It's, like, a series. I think
they were doing Rallycross the other day, too. Like, they're doing some sort of rallying.
They do everything, man. And drag racing.
They
had that one clip go viral where the one dude went up in the air and stuff.
That was cool. He was in the air for, like, 100 feet.
He wasn't there for a long time.
And he didn't even spin out. He kept it going.
Yeah, he landed and just... I mean, he won. So.
He did win.
First man to win a drag race in the air.
I'd like to see if he actually crossed the line.
Yeah.
In like the
what
air
was,
or
what
not.
His time was.
Good lord, he was so in the cool. air for a long time.
But Flow Racing has done so much for racing in general, especially dirt racing recently, and they obviously continue to have with a title sponsor for a series like the All-Star Circuit of Champions where they're giving out what are they giving out? $2 million this year? Something like that in prize money throughout their races?
It's up quite a bit.
It's up a lot from last year. So like, a title sponsor for a series like that is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So for Flow Racing to put that up and do that is fantastic. And obviously Flow Racing gets a cut of all the races that they broadcast with the All-Stars. So I don't know how that exactly works out. But... it's very, very cool. And the logo looks sick. I think it looks a lot better than the yellow Ollie's Bargain
Outlaw. I kind of like the yellow.
I liked it a little bit, but I like the red better. I like the red and black. You're not a big red guy, though.
No, I don't really like red.
But yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great for everybody. Cup guys giving it a whirl. They're giving dirt a whirl.
Obviously, with the March 28th NASCAR Cup Series on dirt at Bristol, which, speaking of which, Bristol dirt on iRacing is now available.
Yeah.
Lauren, I'm sure you've pulled... Have you pulled a few laps?
I've pulled a few laps, and it's just going to be another setup-dependent half mile that I suck at. So, it's okay. It's fun to run on by yourself, but as soon as you get other people around you, and somehow it's only been out for a week, and they have this setup that's just amazing, and they gap you by... Like,
I don't know, just from talking with Austin Solomon, as you guys would know, he's a pro iRacing World of Outlaw driver.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for some setup advice because I just kept on getting creamed with all the 410 stuff and the open setups. So I asked if he could help me out with a setup, and he said he honestly doesn't really change it at all very much. So I think once you find something that clicks, it'll work pretty much anywhere for iRacing.
Because I ran the baseline. Like, they have a dirt
baseline. I don't like
baseline.
Those at all. I don't like
it either, but I didn't know where else to start. I put in my setup that I use at Eldora all the time. And that one is loaded from the baseline, but then I tweaked it and stuff from there, obviously. But And I run pretty good at Eldora in that. And I put it on at Bristol and I was like, this is completely different, first of all. The banking is steeper. Ridiculous because you turn into the corner and then you ride off the right rear and it actually pushes your... It angles your car back towards the outside wall just by bouncing off of the right rear. So you have to make your like rebound stiffness like ridiculously high to even turn through the corner. It's pretty crazy. And the aero there does some crazy things. But yeah, there's some cup guys that are coming onto dirt before that race to try and get some experience. Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, I wrote, Mr. Dirt is for farming. He's been on the record saying that he doesn't like dirt racing and doesn't think it belongs with NASCAR. And I don't think he's ever done a dirt race. Maybe that Prelude to the Dream thing when they had that.
Well, that's fine. He can run 30th in the cup race.
But he's given it a whirl. He's going to run the trucks for DGR, David Gilliland Racing, and other people like Keselowski, Chase Elliott. They're running some modifieds and some late models.
Keselowski ran a late model last night. I'm gonna look at how he did. I don't think he did that great, but
I don't know. Joey Logano, he raced a modified at Volusia.
He did really well.
Yeah, he passed cars and finished on the podium, I'm pretty sure, and he just kind of looked like he was lost in the victory lane interview. What they interviewed all the top three guys, he said he has no idea who any of these guys are and doesn't want to be disrespectful to assume anything about them. So he just kind of like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just came to have fun. Like, I don't know anyone here. He goes, but this is fun. I think I'll do this a lot in the future. And there's other guys, I think Austin Dillon, they're going to be doing some modifieds and they've been known to do it beforehand. We'll see. I think it's cool to see all these guys running like the Bristol Dirt Nationals, and there's some other cup guys that I don't want to give any false information, but I think Corey LaJoie is racing a crate late model, and I think Matt DiBenedetto, that rings a bell.
Yep.
Doing modifies and crate late models just to get their feet wet and just get familiarized with the track.
Brad Keselowski finished 12th last night at Cochrane Motor Speedway. There were some pretty big names there, too. See if I can find the official results. But apparently there were a lot of people that were there. And they said he raced very, very clean. Brandon Overton took the win. That's a big name. So there was a lot of really good drivers there, obviously. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, Chase Elliott, obviously, he's dabbled in dirt a little while now, in the midgets and stuff like that, so it's cool. He's obviously got some experience. I think with just his knowledge of the cup cars and all that stuff, he'll be a pretty big factor at the Bristol Dirt Race. But yeah, I think that's just going to about do it for, like, our regular news. We don't have a soapbox topic this week.
No, we don't. Well, and we're going to kind of phase it into our next season, and that'll be more of a next season thing. But we can talk about just, I don't know, NASCAR or Formula One. They're testing a little more. We got the power rankings coming up. If we can just do the power rankings right away. Yeah,
let's throw these power rankings in here. We're gonna bring back our kick-ass beef jerky power rankings. Here's an ad that we haven't read in a little while. Using family recipes that have been perfected over generations, kick-ass beef jerky is just that good. The highest quality beef is combined with herbs and spices to create a flavor experience like no other. Available in subscription boxes and bulk orders, Kick-Ass Beef Jerky and Snacks have this package to satisfy every race fan's craving. And now Kick-Ass has their very own Bloody Mary mix, perfect for race day mornings, and handcrafted soaps for a refreshing clean after a long day at the track. Visit Kick-Ass Beef Jerky to sign up for the Kick-Ass Fan Club and tell them you heard about it here on the show to receive 10% off your first order. And we're going to kick it off with our IRA rankings. What in the world happened here? I just, like, drugged the whole thing. Oh, boy. All right.
You said this was kind of a different format than you did the power rankings last year. How did you said it was more of a panel-type situation. You want to kind of explain who's involved and
how you did it? Well, we're keeping the panel anonymous because that way if somebody doesn't like the... I mean, I'm on it, obviously, so people can give me some crap, but
I'm not. I'll just
you're not. Yeah, Will's not on it. But we have three people on this panel, including myself. But the basically how it works is this is like similar to the way that the college basketball top 25 is worked out in college football and all that stuff. Each of us put in a top 10 list, and the drivers get points based on where they land in that top 10. So if you get a first place vote, you get 10 points. Second place vote, you get 9 points. Third place vote, you get 8 points. And it goes down from there all the way down to 10th place. You get 1 point. And the points are added up from all three of our lists. And the person with the most points gets ranked first. Second most gets second, obviously. And first place votes will outweigh like a tie in the point standing. So, for example, we had a tie in points for our MSA rankings. But one guy got more first place votes than the person who's in second, so that person got first. It's pretty simple. It sounds complicated the way I just said it, but it's very, very simple.
Just like a almost like an average, I'd say.
Yeah, it's an average between all three of our rankings. So you want to run down the IRA?
Sure, yeah, that'd be fun. Blackhurst, he was ranked first with everyone.
Yeah, everybody
had 10 points each with 30 points total. And then 3 bonus points, I guess.
3 points is first place votes. First place votes are
okay. So right, that's just yeah. Okay. I was a little confused there, but Scotty Thiel came out with 26. Scotty Neinsel at 24. Jordan Goldsberry 19, tied with Blake Nemi for number 5.
Jordan had a higher like average placing in the rankings, yeah. So that's where he's there.
And then Danny Schlaefer has 11th, and the tie between Ranky and Borland at 10, Sean Rahal at 8, Kyle Schutt at 6, Jeremy Schultz at 5, Scott Buetzer at 1 point, and Dave Utek also at 1 point.
So the top 10 ends at Kyle Schutt and the other guys that received votes but didn't make it into the top 10, Jeremy Schultz, Scott Buetzer, Dave Utek. But yeah, Jake Blackhurst obviously moving to that Ryan Auto car. We all know the potential that Ryan Auto car has. Bill Balog has won 10 championships in the thing. Well, not in the Ryan Auto car, but he won about 3 in the Ryan Auto car. Scotty Thiel moving to Ozzie Motorsports. He showed speed with other series like the All-Stars and the World of Outlaws last night. He actually started 12th in the feature, was running about there before a guy spun out in front of him. Scotty Neitzel would have won about 6 championships in his career if Bill Balog didn't exist. So Scotty Neitzel, no surprise, in third. Jordan Goldsberry showed a lot of speed last year, almost beat Brooke Tatnall to a win. He was the only guy to actually beat Bill Balog heads up, like straight up last year. I know Jake Blackhurst won a race, but Bill crashed out and was about half a track ahead when he did that. So Jordan Goldsberry, no surprise there, in fourth as well. Blake Nemi almost won an all-star race last year. He sits in fifth. Danny Schlaefer, looks like he got some upgrades in equipment for this year because he sold a lot of his stuff over the offseason. Seems like he's committing a little bit more to the 410 deal. He's in sixth. Mike Greinke in 7th in the Bob Hood car. He's always going to be a factor. Russell Borland showed some speed last year. He's in 8th. Sean Rahal, sophomore year in the IRA sprints. We'll see what he can do this year. He's in 9th. And Kyle Schutt coming into the IRA for his rookie year. And he cracks the top 10 with 6 points. And Jeremy Schultz, Scott Buetzer, Dave Utek all also received votes. So going to be a really wide open year in the IRA. Obviously, Jake Blackhurst is the favorite for the title, I would say, but you know, you can never count out basically the entire top 6, 7, or 8 guys. So I think it'll be pretty insane.
And how does that go on moving forward? Do you just kind of add points to the total, or do you just
so it'll be completely wipe the slate clean every week? And that way, I mean, we probably could add up all the points throughout the season, but It should work out to be generally the same. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be cool because each week I have a completely new list. Obviously, some things might change. Some things might be the same. But this way, it's not just my opinion.
Yeah.
We actually have a group of guys that, you know, watch all of these races. I'm going to keep the other two guys that are in on this anonymous, but they are super knowledgeable, involved in the media here in Wisconsin with racing and sports in general. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and they follow these races quite a bit, so it'll be great.
And then as for the MSA, same panel doing this. Travis Aarons at 28, tied with McMullen for 28, which it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They're tied up there. Ben Schmidt at 23, Kurt Davis at 16, Adam Miller at 15, yours truly, Will Garrett, at 11 points. And then a tie between Vanderboom and Lance Fosbender at 9 points, followed by Justin Miller at 7, Tyler Tischendorf at 6, Tim Hattie at 4, Tony Wander at 3, Brandon Berth at 2, tied with Scott Conger, and then Kevin Karnitz and Justin Erickson have 1 voting point each.
Yeah, so Travis Aarons is our overall ranked number 1 because he had 2 first place votes, whereas Brandon McMullen had 1, but they both tie with 28 points apiece. So that's pretty cool because one of our voters had Aarons in 3rd, whereas McMullen had 2 second place votes and 1 first place vote. So really cool how that worked out. Ben Schmidt comes down in 3rd. Obviously, I think Ben would have been a title contender last year had he not had just about the worst start to a season ever.
Man, that was awful.
I couldn't believe that. I mean, what did he blow, 3 motors and flip twice or something like that? pretty terrible. But he did pick up a feature win last year and was a contender after he came back. So Kurt Davis will always be a factor. He's in 4th. Adam Miller picked up a feature win last year. He's in 5th. Yours truly, not yours truly, you.
Me.
You guy over there. Won the last race of the year by about a mile and a half. So you're in 6th.
Somehow.
I ranked you. I'm going to come out. I ranked you 3rd. So I think you're going to be a title contender this year.
See what we can do.
You and the next guy on this list, Fast Jack, Jack Vanderboom. I think you and Jack are going
to
be.
I love parking next to Jack. And yeah. Because. Like, we normally run around the same place, and him and Tyler Tischendorf too. We kind of all 3 of us seem to be racing around each other all the time.
Seems like you guys just find each other.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't matter where you're at.
Like, they'll be in the front and be like, "Oh, those guys are up there. I guess I got to go there too."
Yeah, exactly. Pass a bunch of cars. Or sometimes they see you in the back and they're like, "Oh, I got to fall back so I can race Will."
Where's Willie G? I guess I have to spin out here so I can go racing.
But yeah, Jack Vanderboom is in 7th. And he's tied with Lance Fosbender. Jack is ranked higher because he had a vote that was higher than Lance on a list. But Lance is going to be a factor, obviously. He had a lot of just mechanical issues last year, but he's really, really good. So I wouldn't be surprised.
He won like 7 B-mans.
Yeah.
He just had bad luck in the heat races.
Exactly. So I think he... and then he would always get into the feature and run like 17th to 4th or something ridiculous. So he obviously has speed. If he gets his early night issues worked out, he'll be a factor. Justin Miller, I think this surprised a lot of people last year that Justin wasn't as much of a factor as people thought he would be, especially going to the Mayer Automotive 15M. It used to be 51M. But I don't know that we all know that's a fast car. Jim Malis won a lot of races in that car, but that's also Jim Malis. This is Justin Miller, completely different guy, and it always takes a little while for a new team to gel. So I'm sure Justin will be quicker this year. Tyler Tischendorf will round out the top 10. He picked it up a ton in the second half of last year, and I think if he ran like he did in the second half in the first half, we might have seen him in victory lane once or twice because. I just go back to that race at Beaver Dam where he was up on the wheel smacking the... did you ever watch the highlights from that race?
No.
Every single time going into 3 and 4, he was ripping the lip. And there's this huge rut on the top of 3 and 4. And he would just ride it every single time and then get it turned back and rip around the outside of everybody. It was awesome. And he had a legitimate shot at winning that race too if the top didn't go away. But I think he's going to park it this year at least once. He's come so close, and I think him and Jack are both going to get their first wins this year.
Oh, I'd love to see Jack get his first win.
He came close last year. Him and Tyler came close last year.
Yeah.
Well, and your Tyler. Tyler Brabant came close last year, too, opening night.
And
at Chilton.
At Chilton, too.
Well, he spun. Didn't he spin at Chilton and then drive back through the field to second or something like that.
Yeah, that seems like Tyler though.
That's his deal. Like,
it was the bottom track. It was all slick, and he just get by cars. I don't know how he does
it. Tire tickler.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it. He's tried to explain it to me. I still don't get it. So that's just how he does things, I guess.
Also receiving votes: Tim Hattie, Tony Wondra, Brandon Berth, Scott Conger, Kevin Karditz, and Justin Erickson. Two guys that I'm surprised are so far down: Kevin Karditz and Justin Erickson. I think both of those guys will find their way into the top 10. But the MSA is just so competitive, so loaded with good drivers that it's going to be so hard to pick a top 10. Like, you see all these drivers. I think we had 16 drivers get votes for a top 10 list. Hmm. You know, and the IRA only had 13. So I think even though the IRA is loaded this year, just in terms of who can win the championship and who can win races, because you can go all the way down the top 10 in the IRA, and I'd say all 10 of those guys have the capability to win races. Whereas in the MSA, all 16 of these guys have the capability to win races. And we've seen that in the past. A lot of these guys have won. So, this is going to be really fun to do this year. Once we get into our third season of the Midwest Auto Sports Podcast, this will become a weekly deal. We wanted to release these now, though, so we can get them out before the start of the year and let people dissect them and critique them and give their own opinions on this.
The people on Facebook love it, too.
Oh, they love it.
It's some of our most interacted posts.
Yeah, are these power rankings, which is really, really cool. Glad you guys pay attention to them. And even if you don't agree with them, let us know. Let us know in the comment section. You can also, we're going to have a feature next season, which apparently we've had from the start, but I didn't even know about. On anchor.fm for our podcast, people can leave voice messages for the podcast.
I'll call in with questions.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So I think that'll be kind of cool. We're going to try and bring that in next season. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of them will be about these power rankings. Or why don't you have Jordan Goldsberry ahead of Bill Balog? That was the most controversial one last year. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be really fun. Thank you to the two other guys. You know who you are, who do this with me and will do it each and every week once we start the season. It's going to be some work, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot of math for me. Which is a little bit unfortunate, but it's fun. All right, so moving on, we got our Liquid Nitro Energy Drink Winner's Circle. I'm going to go through some upcoming races and some results. Where's the ad read? There it is. Fuel up with the best. Liquid Nitro Energy Drink has all the power and fuel to get you through race day with zero crash or aftertaste. Vitamins B6 and B12 have powerful herbs. And a great taste that will keep your engine running no matter what the day or the track throws at you. Liquid Nitro is available in original Tropical Storm low-carb energy shooters and now CBD-infused water for a full line of powerful drinks to keep you fueled up for the long haul. Ask for Liquid Nitro in your local convenience stores and vending machines or visit liquidnitroenergydrink.com to place an order. First off, we'll go through the world of Outlaws here a little bit. Obviously, last night, Sheldon Honshield picked up his first win of the season with the World of Outlaws. Last Saturday, I don't know if we talked about that. I don't think we talked about that last week because we recorded it on Saturday. But Aaron Reitzel won with four wheels over the cush the entire race, which you drive a sprint car. How difficult is that?
I don't even try to do it.
I don't even think you can. And the tracks that we have here, you can't do it.
No.
Maybe Wilmot. Maybe Wilmot hasn't. I mean, because Wilmot doesn't have a wall. So you can kind of run up there a little bit, but I mean, he was genuinely four wheels over the cushion every lap and drove away from everybody. Pretty insane. But last night, like I said, Sheldon Honshield became the fifth different winner in five races with the World of Outlaws this season, taking the win over Logan Schuchart in second, and I believe Brad Sweet in third. Casey Kane, Hard Charger, 23rd to 5th.
That's insane. Both of the Casey Kane racing cars were pretty fast last night. Brad Sweet, obviously, he passed a few cars to finish third.
Casey had to come through the B.
Yeah, he was on a rail.
Second to last car to qualify through the B main and got up to fifth. That's insane. To put it in perspective, I think Ayrton Jennington was the last car to come through the B main, and he finished last. Mm-hmm. So, last of the running cars. because one of our guys, Scotty Thiel, went down there, had a really good heat race. Then he finished fourth in his heat, or third in his heat, actually, and transferred right into the feature. Started 12th and got in a wreck or involved in a wreck. Took a pretty hard flip and finished, I think, second to last. So that sucks for Scotty, but he'll be back tonight. As with the rest of the World of Outlaws at the Rev, Revolution Speedway.
They're at the Mag.
Or the Mag.
Magnolia Speedway last night. No, they're at the Rev.
The Rev and the Mag. Just like the two coolest. But it's actually like not called that. Like the Mag is Magnolia Speedway and the Rev is Revolution Speedway. It's kind of... They made them sound really badass, but the names are just completely different. But and it's still cool. Both tracks are really short. They're like...
Both around a third mile.
Just over 3/10 yeah. of a mile. So it's like, I think the Mag was 0.325 and the Rev is even shorter. So, but last night, of course, it was the first time the World of Outlaws were ever at the track. So they set a new track record. And every single time somebody crossed the line for qualifying, Johnny Gibson would be like, a new track record. But it was like the first time they were ever there.
Yeah.
So
same with the Rev tonight. They yeah. have race sprint cars.
Yeah. So
they were World of Outlaws haven't been there before. So they'll be breaking another track record tonight.
It's always so cool when World of Outlaws go to a new track or any big touring series like that and just see how quickly they adapt to it. You know, it takes them two laps and a hot laps and they got it figured out. Like, that's really cool. And especially the crew chiefs and stuff like that setting up the car, how they can make adjustments and do all that stuff is really cool.
When the National Sprint League came to Angel Park, I was there in the grandstand.
Daniel Lasoski.
Yeah, Daniel Lasoski. He'd never even seen... Obviously, he's heard of Angel Park and whatnot with all the midgets, but he'd never been there, never seen the track. But they went out there for hot laps, and whoever... I don't know who... Someone broke the track record that night. I don't remember who it was. It was Bill Balog.
It was Bill.
Bill, but still, the rest of the guys were up there and fast, and Daniel Lasoski, he put on some... He put on some moves in the A main and he won it. But overall, I think you're with new tracks. It's really cool to see that as you said. But moving on here.
Yeah, just looking at that race results right now. Danny Lasoski won. See if I can find the results. Yeah, Bill Balog broke the track record 11.985.
And then it got broken the next spring by an all-star driver, and then it got broken again by Donnie Schatz.
Brian Clausen qualified second at Angel Park. Daniel Lasoski qualified third. Linton Jeffrey was there, too.
I think I bet on Brian. Me and my friends from Angel Park, we when we're in the grandstand together, we bring a sack of quarters, and we bet on all the qualifying and heat races and A-Main. But I think I bet on Brian Clausen that night.
The names that were here for this race: Bill Balog, Brian Clausen, Daniel Lasoski, Linton Jeffrey, Tim Kading, Brad Loyett, Matt Jewell, Logan Forler, Brian Brown, Terry McCarl, Ian Madsen, Bill Rose, Austin McCarl, Goldsberry, Kyle Martin, whatever happened to that guy? Brooke Tatnell, Blake Neamy, Steve Meyer, Scotty Thiel, Roger Crockett, Philip Mock, Jason Johnson. Oh no, that's the Badger, Jason Johnson. Dave Utek, Rick Kelsey. Wow. There was 42 drivers there that night.
That was a big night. That was probably one of my favorite nights there. I think what year was that? I think was that Cornfest? I think it was Cornfest.
It was Cornfest. Daniel Lasoski took the win. Brad Loyett was second. Tim Kading, Bill Balog, Brian Clausen rounded out the top five. Ian Madsen, Logan Forler. Whatever happened to Logan Forler? He was big, like, just that long ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. He was huge. Terry McCarl, Brian Brown, Blake Neamy got a top 10 that night. From 17th? Wow, attaboy, Blake. All right. that's enough of living in the past here. But there were the USAC CRA sprint cars last night way out in California. We got to give a shout-out to Davey Ray. Finished second there last night from 15th, and just about had the thing won. That was pretty cool to see. I guess he's from Indiana, but ran with the Wisconsin Wingless Sprints a bunch last year, got a couple victories, so that's pretty cool. That's pretty much it for results. The kind of just the World of Outlaws last night. Obviously, again, World of Outlaws will be tonight on Dirt Vision at the Rev. Ferrari. F1 testing continues tomorrow morning. It's going to be at like 3 a.m. our time, but you can absolutely tune in. That's going to be live on F1 TV. They've been streaming the last 2 hours of F1 testing on their YouTube channel. Otherwise, you can follow along with live timing. Timing and scoring will be on F1.com. So, NASCAR is at Phoenix today. There's the Xfinity race today, which has some extremely long and obscure name that I didn't remember. I read it off earlier, and I don't even remember what it is. And then NASCAR will be at Atlanta next week. And where in the World of Outlaws next week? Because they're racing now, like, every single weekend for the foreseeable future.
Until November.
Cotton Bowl Speedway in Texas. And then US 36 Raceway after that. So, doubleheader at Cotton Bowl next weekend. So, that's going to be pretty cool. And then eventually, they'll get to Bristol.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
I think they start racing Bristol next weekend for, like, actual races. With the late models and the modifieds and stuff like that. And then after NASCAR is done, then they start doing the
World of Outlaws.
World of Outlaw
late models and then the throwdown 2 weeks after that. So that's going to be pretty cool. We get almost a month and a half. Almost 2 full months of Bristol dirt racing action. That's cool.
They want to get their money's worth.
Yeah, no kidding. The All-Stars are off until April 2nd, which I don't even know where that is. But that'll be the next time we can see old Billy Baylog on track. I wonder if he got an invite to Bristol. He probably did.
I'd think so.
I don't think he would.
But he's going to be busy with the All-Star stuff, which...
Right.
Scotty Thiel's going to Bristol.
Yep. Which is interesting, because I think there's an IRA race that weekend, is there?
I think you'd have to. If I was an IRA guy and got an invite to Bristol, I think I'd go to Bristol.
Well, there goes his points championship.
But he gets to race at Bristol, too.
It's fair. let's see here. What is that Bristol dirt race? The 20s? Actually, no. The Bristol dirt is the 22nd. The IRA does not have a race then. They have a race on the 24th.
Well, look at that.
There you go.
It all works out for Scotty.
There you go, Scotty Thiel. Oh, no, it's not. It's the 22nd through the 24th, so he wouldn't miss that Bristol dirt. That's if he makes the A-Main. I guess if he doesn't make the A-Main, he can always run back up here. But we'd love to see Scotty Thiel in the A-Main at Bristol, I think. Local boy.
I think so, too.
But, yeah, IRA, they obviously start their season on 410. However, it sounds like a lot, like the majority of the IRA field is going to Lee County Speedway on April 9th, the night before the race at 34 Raceway, because it's like 20 minutes away or something. But that race is 410s at Lee County. That's their season opener on April 9th. And I know we're going there with Sean. Kyle Shewitt's going to go there. Bailey Goldsberry's going to race there. So I'm assuming Jordan Goldsberry's going to race there. So a bunch of IRA boys are going to go down to Lee County on the 9th and make it a triple header weekend with 34 and then LaSalle. So I'm so excited to get this season rolling, man. It's like 2 weeks away.
It's coming up fast.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. So excited.
I think that'll probably do it. We don't have a Gassers Project hot seat this week, but we probably will next week. But thank you to all our sponsors, Gassers Project, Sage Fruit, Professional Plating, QualityFreightRate.com, Recognition Race Products, Kick-Ass Beef Jerky, Liquid Nitro Energy Drink, for their support, and us just wanted to talk about racing to all you guys.
Yeah, and you can catch us each and every Saturday, or not Saturday, this comes out on Sundays now, my bad. But during the race season, we're going to do some cool different stuff. We might have some episodes come out on, you know, Fridays, Saturdays, just depending on when we can record, because I work all week, you work all week now.
I will be.
Yeah, and then on the weekends we race. So we'll find some cool and interesting ways to record this show. Some of them might even be at the track, which will be pretty cool. But yeah, I think that's just about going to do it for this week's episode. Keep it flat out.
And talk to you next week.